Well, John 10 is typically the chapter we think of the great shepherd, Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. But I want to take just an aspect of that and talk about hearing his voice, because if you read through the chapter, you'll see that comment, hearing his voice, hearing his voice, hearing his voice, over and over and over again. It seems to me that that's really what he's trying to get at, is that we would be people who learn to hear his voice. It's hard to follow a shepherd if you can't hear his voice, right? So he's a good shepherd. He leads us. He speaks, but we have to have an ear to hear. Now, John 10 is really a continuation of chapter 9. How many of you know when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses? It was kind of written as a story. And John 10 actually is a continuation of John 9. You'll look down in verse 21, for example, and you'll see that Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees there about this blind man. And in verse 13, he talks about those that are thieves and robbers who don't really care for the sheep. And so he's contrasting his life as a great shepherd with those who are not really caring for people. Think about how this blind man was treated by those Pharisees. I mean, all they could do is ask him, how are you healed? Who's the man? Where is he at? And just kind of grill him without even rejoicing in the fact that a man who was born blind from his birth could even see. And the Pharisees at the end of chapter 9, Jesus said, because you say you see, I want you to know that you're really blind. So now he's going to contrast himself as a good shepherd. He's the only one who really cared for this blind man. Even his parents sort of hung him out to dry, so to speak, if you remember what we talked about last week. So let's talk about Jesus, the great shepherd, and hearing his voice. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So here's a picture of a sheepfold. It's really like a wall. Sometimes they made it out of hedges. You ever heard about the Lord surrounding you by a hedge? That's what it's talking about, a sheepfold. You know, a place where there's protection. And there's always only one door into the sheepfold, and the shepherd would sleep there at night. You would bring the sheep in, they were there, and anybody who got in had to come through the shepherd. So no wolves could come in without first passing through him. There was great protection in the sheepfold. And so he says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. This tells me a couple things. One is, there's really only one way into the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. That is through the door. And Jesus himself says, I am the door, in several places in this particular verse. It's kind of neat because Jesus is both the door and the shepherd. And you can't really get into the sheepfold of Jesus unless you go through him. There's only one way to God. If you try to get in some other way, he says you're a thief and a robber. But also, even these Pharisees or religious leaders who were leading people astray, they're like thieves and robbers as well. There's only one true shepherd, one true sheepfold, that is Jesus. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Now listen, it says, the sheep hear his voice. That's what I'm talking about today. The sheep hear his voice. I don't know if you've ever seen videos of a shepherd out sort of in the field and calling out to the sheep, and they hear his voice. They know his voice. They recognize it, and they come running. And they have these calls they make, and these sheep seem to understand what the guy's saying, but they hear his voice. This is the emphasis that Jesus is placing upon this chapter. The sheep hear his voice. I want to ask you the question this morning. Do you hear his voice? Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Because he is speaking. The voice of Jesus is going out. And those who are his sheep hear his voice. Now, don't get nervous right now. So I know you're thinking, I have a hard time hearing from the Lord. Well, I hope today, after we go through this, you won't have a hard time hearing from the Lord. But if you are a sheep, you hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. And it says, he calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. He brought out his own. When he brought out all of his own, he goes before them. So the shepherd would call the sheep and they would follow him out. And then he would take them out into the pasture or wherever he was taking them. So he calls his own out. He goes before him. And the sheep follow him. Look at the next sentence. For they know his voice. Why do they follow him? They know his voice. It is the voice that's important. Why do we follow the shepherd? I know his voice. I know what he's saying. I hear him. I'm his sheep. He calls me out. He goes before me. He leads me. I follow him because I hear his voice. I hear his voice. A stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Why? They don't know the voice of strangers. Can you see how important this idea of the voice is here? This whole relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is sort of linked to this idea of hearing his voice. We follow him because we hear his voice. We don't follow the stranger because we don't know the voice of strangers. So I have a few comments from these verses here. Jesus is speaking. Are we listening? Are we listening? Now, we talk a lot about distractions in our world today. And I'm wondering if sometimes we don't hear the Lord as we're not really listening. And sometimes in our prayer life, we're busy saying things, but we need to listen. There's times we need to just be quiet because the shepherd is wanting to say things. He's wanting to speak to us. And if our only time in prayer is to say the things we want to say, maybe he's wanting to talk too. Are we listening? He calls us out by name. Isn't that amazing? I see these scriptures in the Bible. I'll just kind of quote them to you. Is Isaiah 43:1, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When Paul the Apostle was going into Damascus, he was knocked off his horse. Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Called him by name. When Jesus first met Peter, he said, you are Simon, son of John, and I'm going to change your name to Cephas. He knew it. Called him by name. I want you to think about for a moment that Jesus knows your name. Isn't it neat when you ever gone into a place maybe that was full of strange people and maybe a few people you met one time and they walk up and say, hey, Willie, how you doing? And you just felt good because, hey, they remembered my name. It seems to be important to us. Well, Jesus calls us by name. He doesn't just say, hey, you over there, I want you to follow me. He says, hey, Bill, I want you to follow me. Or maybe he said Clarence, I'm not sure. Bill? Okay. He said Bill, okay. Bill, I want you to follow me. Ruth, come and follow me. See, there's this calling by name. It's unmistakable. And I think when you get saved and you remember hearing that voice or you felt this drawing or whatever it was that you experienced on that day, you just need to know that he was saying, Amanda, come and follow me. You know, Rick, come and follow me. He called us by name. Isn't that really an awesome thing to think about? And of all the people in the world, all the 7 billion people, he knows each one of us by name. Just think of this. If he has all the stars named, and there's billions and billions of those, he can't forget your name. He's a good shepherd. He calls us by name. He calls his own sheep by name. I used to work on a dairy farm, and the farmer guy that was kind of he was not really the owner. He was the dad of the owner. I think maybe in the past he was the owner, but he was sort of the old guy on the farm. He had names for all these cows. You know, we'd walk out there, he goes, well, there's Tilly and there's, you know, whatever. I'm thinking, how does he know all these things? But he knew them by name. He could look from a distance and say, there's, Alfie or whatever their names were. And it amazed me because they all kind of looked the same to me. But after a while, after you got to know them, oh, yeah, there's Alfie and there's Tilly, you know, because they have certain characteristics or whatever. But Jesus knows us by name. We're not just a face in the crowd. I hope that's important to you. It also said that he calls his own by name and he goes before them. Jesus is leading us. You know, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's not just sitting there trying to shoo us along. He's leading us. This shepherd calls us by name and he says, come and follow me. And he steps out and he leads. He goes before us and we follow him because we hear his voice. I wonder sometimes if our lack of following the Lord is because we're not hearing. You know, sometimes we get frustrated. I wish I was serving the Lord more. I wish I was following the Lord more strongly. Maybe you're just not hearing his voice because he's speaking. He's saying, hey, Kirk, come here. And I come out and he says, follow me. And all I got to do is hear his voice and follow. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a place. He's taken us. He has a journey for us to follow. But we got to be willing. And I put down in my notes here that hearing his voice is really strongly tied to obedience. Because if Jesus is saying something to us, how many of you know he's wanting us to follow it? He tells us in the word several times, it's foolish for us to hear what he's saying and not really putting it into practice. It's foolishness. It's like building on sand. And so hearing his voice, when I think of hearing the voice of the shepherd or hearing what he's saying, it's linked to a response from me, a following, a saying, yes, Lord. And I see some examples. I'm going to comment on these. Jesus one time told the disciples, as he was calling them, lay down your nets and follow me. That was the voice of the shepherd. But they had a choice. They would either say, hey, I'm going to keep fishing, or it's like, okay, I lay them down. They didn't know what the future held, but there was this voice of the shepherd. They were led by the Lord. Said, hey, lay your nets aside and come and follow me. Jesus had a purpose for them. And see, they obeyed. They heard his voice and they responded and they followed with Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector sitting at the tax collector's table. Jesus walked by and said, follow me. A simple word, a voice of the shepherd. Follow me. What'd he do? He got up and followed. See, there was a response. There was a yielded heart that says, yes, Lord, I hear and I'm going to do what you ask. Follow me. Matthew's life was never the same from that day forward because he heard the voice of the shepherd and he followed. One time Peter and his brother fishermen were out fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. Jesus that morning got into his boat, pulled away from the shore a little bit and began to preach to the people that were there. When he was done, he told Peter, go back out. Now, these guys were washing their nets. It had been a long night. They were tired. They were ready to go home and go to sleep. They had the night shift. And Jesus is now kind of saying, hey, I got something for you here. Pull out from the shore a little bit and throw your nets down again. And Peter, he says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we're going to do it. And it says they threw their nets down. And they caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull them up. See, Jesus is leading us somewhere. He's taken us to places. You say, I want to see the exciting things of God in my life. Well, listen to him. Peter had an exciting thing in his life just because he listened. He didn't think Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus, you're a carpenter. I'm the fisherman. We fished all night. There's no fish out here. Just put it on the other side of the boat, Peter. Yeah, I may be a carpenter, but I'm the creator of the universe. Amen. But Peter just heard his voice. He listened. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. A little word, wasn't it? And Zacchaeus heard the shepherd. He came down, took Jesus to his house, and salvation came to him on that day. He spent a little bit of time with Jesus, and he who was a thief and a robber on that day gave half his goods to the poor and restored fourfold to anybody that he had ever stolen from. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to his house. What happened? He heard the voice. He heard the Lord, and he said, okay, just come down out of the tree. It was a simple thing. It wasn't a great thing. Just come down out of the tree, and let's go to your house. He heard, and he responded. Paul was going into the city of Damascus. Jesus knocked him off his horse, and he said, what must I do, Lord? And the Lord said, go to the city and wait. It'll be told you what you must do. And so he did. He went to the city and he waits. And he was there for like 3 days. And all of a sudden, this disciple comes in and he lays his hands upon him and his vision is restored. He had been blind for 3 days from the bright light. Now he can see again. And he was filled with the Spirit. And Paul was given a great task in the ministry of the kingdom of God. But he simply listened to the voice of the Lord. What do you want me to do? Abraham, leave your country and go to a place I will show you. A simple command. But because he obeyed, look what happened in the world today. The Bible says that through Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. You're experiencing that blessing right now. You are saved in Jesus Christ because of the obedience of Abraham. He was a man who heard a simple message and he left. Abraham, the Lord said, today I want to make a covenant with you and I want you to be circumcised, you and your sons and all the men that are in your group. Wait a minute. You know what the Bible says? The selfsame day, Abraham circumcised himself, his sons, and all the men. That's pretty amazing, if you ask me. But you find in this man of Abraham, one who hears and responds. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and offer him up on a sacrifice to me. The very next morning, he put the wood on the donkey and headed off to the place where this was to happen. You see in these people just this responsiveness to the Lord. You know, seeing great things happen in your life or being involved in amazing works of God. You know, we talked last week about being involved in the works of God. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes hearing and responding. He's the one who, it's his works. We just want to say, Lord, lead me. Show me the way. Help me to find the place. Listen to my voice, Kirk. Just listen. You don't have to figure it all out. Listen to my voice and follow what I say. The rich young ruler came and said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you have life. He didn't, did he? Remember that story? So sometimes we hear something from the Lord and it's maybe More than we want to commit, more than we want to give, more than we want to say. And here was a case of a person who heard from the Lord and walked away. And even in these stories in John 9 and 10, you see the Pharisees, they had every opportunity to see the works of Jesus and to believe him. Jesus even said, if you don't believe me, if you can't believe me as a person, the words I'm saying, at least believe the works that you see. But they were so stubborn, so hardened in their hearts against hearing from Jesus, they walked away. So you see through the Bible is really great stories of people who both heard and responded and sometimes heard and didn't. And I encourage you, as you're reading through the scriptures, maybe the next time as you're going through, look for those little keys. People who are hearing and responding. People who are hearing and not responding. So in verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, you know, the figure of speech being sheep and shepherd, but they did not understand what he was saying. So he said again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. And the sheep did not listen to them. See, there were many who came before Jesus. They didn't care for the sheep. They were about themselves. It was about enriching themselves in some way. They are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, listen to what he says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. It's the only way. He who enters by me will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So you see this comparison between the destruction of those others who came before, thieves and robbers. All they had in mind was to kill, steal, and destroy, versus Jesus, who came to bring life abundantly. What is that, abundant life? Well, think of the story. I think part of it is the healing that was there. I mean, the man was blind from birth, and he received something beautiful from the Lord. Beyond that, the man received salvation. Remember, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the guy said, who is he, Lord, that I may? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And the guy says, I believe, Lord. Isn't that an abundant life? Sometimes I think we've given up on the abundant life because we've reduced it down to materialism somehow. What is the abundant life of Jesus Christ? Jesus told his disciples to give up the things of this world. Do you think they had an abundant life or not? Would you give up everything in this world to have 3.5 years with Jesus? Would you lay your nets down? Like Peter, he says, Lord, we've left everything. We've left our fathers, mothers. We left everything to follow you. Jesus said, if you leave everything, you'll have much more in this life and even in the life to come, eternal life. You're not really giving up anything to follow Jesus. You're gaining so much more. It's an abundant life. It is an abundant life. But on the other side of the coin, you can have an abundant life that's full of materialism and have no real abundant life because of a relationship with Jesus. So abundant life, I don't think, has anything to do with my wealth, my riches, the kind of car I drive, the house I live in. It has to do with my relationship with Jesus. He is all I need. He's the all-sufficient one. You might be sitting there thinking, I'm having a hard time believing that. Well, give it a shot sometime. Start listening to the voice of the shepherd. And you'll be on a journey that you'll be so excited about, you won't be able to contain it. And what if he asks you to lay aside your nets? Well, lay them aside. He's got a purpose for it. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I want you to look, if you would, to Psalm 23, or I'm going to have the scriptures up here on the slide. When I read Psalm 23, it's a relationship between a shepherd and sheep. And it is about Jesus and us. And tell me if this doesn't sound like an abundant life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Does that sound like an abundant life? Why? I kind of put down, and this is not in the Bible, but I'm kind of putting down this in my notes, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means there's nothing in this world that I have need of. Why? He's my shepherd. He takes care of all that. That's his department. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Wonder how the Lord makes us do that. Maybe there's times when we need a big time out in our life, and he makes us lie down in green pastures, which to me speaks of eating of the Word of God. It's feeding. He leads me beside still waters. How many need some still waters in your life? We all know about the storms that rage, but he leads me beside still waters. That sounds like an abundant life to me. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Our souls sometimes need to be restored. We live in this world. Remember the story about Job? It says his soul, his righteous soul was vexed because of living in Sodom. And we live in a world today that our soul becomes vexed over and over and over again. And he says, he is the one who restores my soul. I think maybe some of us here need to have our souls restored. Lord, restore our soul. Bring life again. You know, we feel miserable, we're fearful, we're angry, we're frustrated. Our souls are just twisted all up. I restore your soul. That sounds like an abundant life to me. How would you like to live in 2019 and say, the Lord restores my soul? He restores it, puts it back the way it should be, to restore my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. How many of us need to be led into paths of righteousness? There's plenty of paths that lead to unrighteousness. There's plenty of temptations. There's plenty of things that we follow in this world. But he, this shepherd, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where does Jesus lead you? To righteousness? Always. He will never lead you to unrighteousness. And it's for his name. You know, there's something about that. He's not really doing it for our sake. Oh, it is for our benefit, for sure. But he's doing it for his name's sake. He wants everybody to know that, Bill Powell, you got my name on you. And I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I want everybody who names the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. So I'm going to lead you into paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I want, when people think of you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, they see you walking in paths of righteousness. So I'm, as the shepherd, going to lead you into paths of righteousness for my own name's sake. Isn't that a beautiful thought? But if you listen to his voice, that's where he's leading you. He's wanting you to shine. Bill, you preached a message here recently about being a trophy. That's what we're talking about here. That God holds you up and says, this is one of mine. I'm leading you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That sounds like an abundant life. Now, whether that's speaking about difficulties in life or the fact that we all one day will go through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for you are with me. That sounds like an abundant life. My shepherd is there leading me. He is there with me. His rod and staff comfort me. It's an abundant life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love the picture of that. Think of yourself on the front line of an army and the enemy's coming against you. I mean, wouldn't you be like pumped up with adrenaline? I mean, it's like the battle's here. It's ready. We got to fight. Not this guy. He's sitting down eating. I'm going to make a table for you in the presence of the enemies. I want you to know I got this. Sit down here and eat, my brother. And we're sitting there and we're eating. And the enemy's out here. The enemy's coming. And we're just, is this what I'm supposed to be doing, Lord? Yeah, just eat. I got this covered. I'm going to fight your battles for you. This is how I fight my battles. That's what the song's about. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. That sounds like an abundant life to me, doesn't it? How many of you can picture yourself in the presence of the enemy just sitting down eating? Not worried about the enemy. Not worried about, do we have enough gunpowder? Do we have enough spears and shields? Do we have enough horses and chariots? Do we have enough? Do we have enough soldiers? Just sit down here and let me prepare. But the thing is, it's Jesus who's preparing that table. He said, Bill, come here. Here, come on. Don't worry about them. It's such a beautiful picture, isn't it? That sounds like an abundant life to me. You anoint my head with oil. It's kind of like, hey, I'm trying to eat here. Now, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. See, our cup isn't just full. We always talk about people, are you a half full or a half empty kind of person? Well, I want to be a cup overflows kind of person. I don't want to be half full or half empty. I want to say my cup overflows because he's my shepherd. My cup overflows. Yeah, but you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. That's okay. I don't fear any evil because he's with me. Yeah, but you got enemies all around you. That's okay. I'm sitting here eating because I got a shepherd. I mean, think about this. It's a beautiful story here. This is an abundant life. Would you rather have this or a Cadillac? Or both? Surely, no question, goodness and mercy will follow me. This is a neat word in the Hebrew language. It means pursue me. It's not like you're dragging them along. They are pursuing you, like almost like to persecute you, chasing you down. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then, top it all off, after all that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, it's like, talk about icing on top of the cake and a cherry. I mean, it's like, praise the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. There's another great contrast, isn't it? The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Think of the story of David when the bear came out and the lion came out to try to take his sheep. He went out and defended the sheep. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. That's a good shepherd. And that's Jesus. That's what he does. He protects us. He actually laid his life down for us. The Bible says there's no greater love than that a man would give his life for his friends. There's nobody who loves you more than Jesus. Nobody who can be a better shepherd than Jesus. Nobody who can ever be a greater shepherd than Jesus Christ. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. That's relationship. He knows us. Jesus knows you, and you know him. It's a relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. I know you, Lord. I'm learning about you. I'm learning of your ways. I'm knowing you more and more each day. It says one day when we were with him, we shall know even as we are known. Right now we see through a glass darkly. We see only certain things. We understand certain things, but our knowledge of him is growing. It's increasing and it's abounding. But I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know the one who died for me. I want to know this good shepherd. I want to know him intimately. I want to know that he knows my voice. I want to know when he speaks to me. I want to hear him. When he says, Kirk, I'm leading you out. And hey, just go over here and do this, do that. Because it's in that that the works of God will be done. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I think he's talking about when Jesus first came, he came to the house of Israel and he was speaking to those sheep, but there's sheep of another fold, which is the Gentile, us. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And listen, they will listen to my voice. See that word again? They will listen to my voice. That's what it's all about, the sheep and the shepherd relationship. They will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. There's not a division. We come to Christ the same way, Jew, Gentile. There's one flock, there's one shepherd, and we all hear his voice. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The thing you got to remember is when Jesus laid his life down on the cross, they didn't come and take it from him. How many of you know he could have called at any moment 12 legions of angels? He stood in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, I am he, and they all fell over backwards. Don't think for a moment that somebody took his life. He laid it down. He gave it up willingly. He says, I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again, which he did on the third day. Amen. He had the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received of my Father. Look down at verse 24. The Jews gathered around him and said, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. They're not hearing. They have their own thoughts, their own way. They don't want to listen to the voice of Jesus. They don't want to listen to what he's saying. He said, I've told you again and again, but you won't listen. The reason you're not listening is you're not my sheep. Because his sheep will listen. His sheep will hear his voice. His sheep will respond. Just like the blind man. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? You've seen him. It is me. I believe. I hope that you're that kind of a sheep. That you're not one who's resisting. You're not one who's stubborn toward Jesus. I hope you're a sheep who hears his voice, one who knows him and one who follows. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. There's that statement again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I'll tell you what, man. I mean, to know that Jesus knows me is amazing to me. I don't ever walk around in the world thinking, I wonder if God even knows me. I know them, he said. I know them, they know me. He hears my voice, I know them. And look at the last phrase, they follow me. I want you to know that being a sheep means being a follower. You can't be a sheep and stay in that pen. The sheep pen, you know, after a while, there's no food left in there. The shepherd says, I call my own by name and I lead them out and they follow me. He's taking us to green pastures. He's taking us to still waters. But if you're not listening, if you're not hearing his voice, if you're not following him, you're not going to go and experience those things he just mentioned there in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you hearing his voice? Is there a responsive heart that says, yes, Lord? Are you stepping out and saying, I want to follow you, Lord? Because this is, to me, these three phrases are the essence of chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That's what it says. And look what Jesus says in return. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that a beautiful promise? I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And then I want to close up. I'm going to kind of go rapidly through these. I want to just show you there's many different ways that God speaks to us. He does speak to us in like a what you might call a still small voice. Remember the story? Elisha was there in the cave and there was a great wind and was breaking the rocks. And it said the Lord wasn't in the wind and there was an earthquake. The Lord wasn't there. But then there came this still small voice. And sometimes you will have the Lord speak to you in a still small voice. It's almost as if a thought was planted in your own mind, your own heart. Sometimes that's the Lord. Now, sometimes it's just you. You have to learn to hear. Is that the Lord? Is that not? But he does speak. He does guide. So I wanted to go through these scriptures, and sometimes the Lord speaks to us through his word. John 14, 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. So sometimes God speaks to us through his word. If we're reading the Bible, have you ever had an experience, and again, I know experiences are experiences, but have you ever read the Bible at some point and just maybe one statement just kind of jumped off the page at you? Sometimes that's the Lord speaking to you, saying, hey, pay attention to this. And you read a scripture, and you know, like I'll just say as an example, husbands, honor your wives or your prayers will be hindered. What if you read that? And all of a sudden, it just kind of jumped off the page at you. Maybe the Lord's saying, Kirk, are you really treating your wife the way you should treat her? Because if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. If God speaks that, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. And I want to respond to it. And so I'm going to say, Lord, show me. What am I doing? How do I need to be corrected here? So the word of God is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Many times God just speaks to us through his word. And I would say to you, those of you who are here and say, God never speaks to me, I would ask you, how much time are you spending in his word? Because he will speak to you right from the scripture. But there needs to be this heart that says, I want to respond to that. John 14, 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So when you have the Holy Spirit, he's going to be the teacher. He will teach you all things, he says, and he will bring to your remembrance things that I have said to you. So sometime down the road, Peter's walking down there, or John's walking down there, or James is walking down there, and the Holy Spirit is there saying, remember what Jesus said? Remember? And something came back to their memory. Something that Jesus said. That's the Holy Spirit's work. I will teach you all things. And sometimes through the course of your day or the course of your life, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you. That's hearing from God. That's hearing his voice. Look how many times the Holy Spirit spoke in the book of Acts. Acts 13:1. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." There are many who don't believe that God speaks to us today other than through the scripture. But what do you say about these scriptures here? The work of the church was being done oftentimes by the words of the Holy Spirit speaking. Don't you think he still wants to do that kind of thing today? It's not a sterile kingdom that we're serving. It's a living kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we are living in a kingdom that's alive. The Bible says the person who has the Holy Spirit will be like the wind that's blowing. You know it's there, but you can't tell where it's coming from. You know, it's kind of a neat illustration there. But the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul." Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, separate Willie, there's a work I have for him." Or "Separate Kathy, there's a work I have." Wouldn't that be great if the Holy Spirit would speak that? Why can't he? Maybe he is. Maybe we're just not hearing. In Acts 20, verse 23, Paul said, "The Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonments and afflictions await me." Every place he was going, people were speaking by the Holy Spirit, or perhaps the Spirit was speaking to him directly, but basically saying, when you get to Jerusalem, there's going to be trouble. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go join this chariot." Isn't that a great story? You know the story of Philip. He's down in Samaria. People are being saved. Signs and wonders, miracles are happening. And the Holy Spirit said, "Philip, leave and go down to the desert." What did he do? He heard and he left. He followed. He went down to the desert. Then as he's down there, he sees this chariot riding down the road. And the Holy Spirit said, "Go join yourself to this chariot." And so he ran over there. And lo and behold, there's a man in there reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he's wondering, who in the world is this talking about? And Philip was able to tell him, it's Jesus. The guy gave his heart to Christ and he was baptized that day. You know, that never would have happened if Philip hadn't heard and responded. "Philip, go down to the desert." "No, Lord, there's such a great revival here." No, he went. "Go join yourself to that chariot." "Well, he's a stranger. Maybe he'll think I'm weird if I talk to him." See, there's so many reasons why we might hear, but we hold back. But that's where the excitement of the work of God is. It's on the edge of that hearing and responding, because Jesus says, "I know there's a guy over in his chariot who wants to know me. And Philip, listen to me and get over there and tell him." It's a beautiful story. Sometimes through visions. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." This is a great story because Ananias is the guy the Lord sent to lay his hands upon the Apostle Paul. What if he hadn't listened? What if he hadn't responded? He at first tried to balk against it. He said, "Oh, I've heard about this Paul. He's a dangerous man. He's killing people." The Lord says, "Go. He's my chosen vessel." And so he went. He heard and he went. But it came through a vision. Acts 10:10, Peter fell into a trance and there came a voice, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And you know, that was the opening of the door into the Gentile world for the kingdom of God. I'm sorry if some of these stories aren't familiar to you. I just ask you to go read the context of it. That sounds kind of like a weird thing there. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," you know, heading on a hunting trip or something. Acts 16:9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, "Come over to Macedonia to help us." When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Immediately, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. The Lord spoke to him through a dream. Before this, the Holy Spirit stopped them from going over here. He stopped them from going there. Then Paul goes to sleep at night and he has this dream or vision. There's a man in Macedonia, and they discerned the will of God through that. Sometimes by an angel. In Acts 10:22, Cornelius was directed by a holy angel. "I was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house." He sent for Peter. Peter came into a Gentile home, shared the gospel, and it opened up the door for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom of God. It was through a dream, or through an angel. Acts 12:7. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him and said, There was a light shining in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and says, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off. How would you like to get out of prison that way? One time Jesus himself appeared, Acts 23:11. The following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must testify in Rome." You know, Paul was on a ship. It was in a storm. "Don't worry, you're going to make it. I want you to testify for me." Jesus himself stood there. So I'd like you to stand with me, you know, and I just encourage you that there are many, many ways that God speaks to us. Next time you read through the book of Acts, maybe just get yourself a little notebook and start jotting down all the different ways the Lord directed them. It's interesting to me, and I'm not saying this is a rule, but it's interesting to me that at least in the book of Acts, the times when the Lord spoke to people, it was directly related to his work. It wasn't like, "Lord, what shoes should I wear today?" He probably doesn't really care what shoes I wear today. Maybe he does, I don't know. But there are things that Jesus cares about. Like pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into it. Jesus cares about that. Jesus cares about the blind man. He cares about the demoniac. He cares about the woman at the well. There's things that he cares about. He cares about the man in the chariot, the eunuch. He cares about the Philippian jailer whose family needs to be saved. He cares about Lydia and all those people who are with her. He cares about Cornelius and his household. These are people who need to come to the kingdom of God. Those are what Jesus cares about. And so he's looking for people who will listen and say, "Go do this. I care about these people. But Lord, what shoes should I wear?" You know, doesn't it sound kind of weird, the things sometimes that we worry about and pray about and seek direction for, when he's saying, "I care about totally different things than this."